Hey, everybody.
Everyone.
Okay. So we're recording and we're all on there. Good. Okay. Sorry about having to dump all of you. I know you were all in there. I was like, oh shit. I didn't end the last one soon enough so I could just start up with you. So anyway, if you ever go on and you get dumped off, it just means that I hadn't ended the last meeting in time. So Lisa, Steve. Uh-oh. There we go. All right, everybody's coming on. Nice. Okay. Awesome. Patty's coming on. Okay. Mary. All right. So. Just want to start off with talking about archetypes here, which we're going to continue on. This was the handout. Think it was Sydney who said, "What are we supposed to be doing with these archetypes? How many are we supposed to be doing?" Oh, you got it. You downloaded it. Perfect. Okay. And it's, there's a lot to it, but it's, when you really look at it, there's some pieces that if you're really sort of like, how, what's the step by step? This is the step by step. This is sort of like, okay, this is what archetype is, how you choose them, how you're going to put them in your chart. When you start thinking about, we're definitely going to be spending time on the spiritual centers as well. The physical life purpose points, and so we'll be working on all of that as well. So you definitely want to have lots of extras. Sort of like, oh, how does this fit in? Because when I what I'll do, actually just to prepare you. The last call you have of the year is with me before the last class. And I'm gonna walk and we're gonna, whatever you've done to that point in your chart, I'll do a final sort of like polishing, moving, and we'll definitely wanna have like the ones you dropped. So even if you've got 20, and you're trying to put them in your chart and you're like, well, that one's definitely not, I don't have that, I don't have this, I don't have that. Save those so that you're sort of like, oh yeah, these were the ones that I was trying on. They didn't quite fit. It was like, I'm a, whatever. I'm a size medium. It was definitely a large, or it was whatever it is. It didn't quite fit right. But save those because if they somehow were working in your life, sometimes they work. Okay, so let's just start. Let's do a little Q&A or hey, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, Reese, which day is that you're going to have that last meeting? Is it it's going to be a change, right? A change of date and time or no?
Well, no. I so the so the what I was just talking about is like your last laser session with me. During the year, your 1-on-1 with me at the
Oh,
end
okay.
of like in April.
Gotcha.
The last call we have, so this is our we've got one more call after this before class is in 2 weeks on let me just look at my calendar. I think it's the 12th.
Yeah, you said it was the 12th. You're
Okay.
gonna
So and because we're gonna be putting the the ones in here too, we have to move time slightly. So you're going to move from 6:30 to 7, and then the threes are going to go from 7 to 8. So, and we'll bump back the LMT, the GLMTs that were on here right before you, to 5. So in 2 weeks, we'll have our last sort of prep call like this. And that will be, just so you can mark that down in your calendar, and we'll send you out a reminder. That'll be 7 to 8 on Thursday, the 12th.
Thanks.
So we've done a bunch so far. Why don't we just start with an open discussion, just on sort of like, anybody, you can unmute yourself. What questions do you have that have come up? If you do this work, you've got to have questions. So let's just do some general Q&A.
Can you talk about prostitute a little more?
Prostitute, yes, I absolutely can. All right, wait. So Sydney said that my dates are wrong. Hang on, let me just look at my calendar and then I can tell you what's happening here. So today's 22nd.
Next Thursday is the 29th. Then the Thursday after is the 5th.
Right. I'm not going to be able to do either the 29th or the 5th. So their next one is the 12th. So it's 3 weeks. And then the week after that's class. And so that means that, you're very likely, Mike and Marjorie are gonna be, doing something with you between now and then, to sort of support you in continuing with all this. So we can open it up to, Mike and Marjorie and team, I should say. So any questions on where we are right now?
Sorry, I missed last class.
Yep.
And were we supposed to have something ready? I mean, I've been picking my archetypes for a long time, but did you want us to have done that?
We were just talking the last time. We were talking about the child and the saboteur, correct, everybody?
Okay,
so we were just talking about what they are, how you might look for them in your chart, how you can use this chart here. It talks about what they might look like, what the child, what the saboteur, what the prostitute, what the victim might look like in each of the chakras. So you can kind of get a sense of that. So there's a lot written in here, as well as in the very back, there are lots of, if you're like, well, I'm kind of this profile. There's a big list of archetypes that those profiles generally have that can give you kind of a starting point.
Thank you. And I'm one of the ones that didn't download that thing. Sorry.
That's okay.
Lisa, don't feel bad.
Does everybody know how to get on the student site? Anybody having trouble with your student site?
No.
Okay. All right. So what you want to do in the student site is just go through and just notice that there, like when you get to your page, your class page, there's like 20 little icons there, right? Behind every one of those little doors are jewels, right? There's audios, there's, there's handouts, there's videos, there's, there's the 30-day training, which by the way, you should all be, has everybody done days 1 and 2? You've been working on that? Everybody get that? Did you get the memo? So the memo last week was, everybody should start on days 1 and 2, the intro and feeling and listening to your first chakra. Now, so every week between now and class, do one more day. Okay. So you're going to start last week, this week, whenever you're going to do, with just every day you wake up, and part of your meditation is feel, you know, feel that chakra, put your energy in there, put your focus there, bring your attention to that chakra. Feel how it's feeling right now, your body, your presence, your place in the world, your family, your, you know, all of that stuff that goes on in the first chakra. And then listen to it. And then and when you listen to your first chakra, sometimes it's your foot that's talking, or it's your knee or your shoulder. It's like, wow, my body's talking to me here, you know, and listening to what does the first chakra voice sound like? Because so often we're delusional in this idea that the brain actually has any power whatsoever in our lives. It really only has the capacity to screw things up, because it thinks thinking is consciousness, and it's not. And when you get confused between thinking and consciousness, you become of the world, not in it. Okay, so you learn things that the world says, the media says, news says, you know, the society says, and you buy it. You don't have a thought of your own, because thinking doesn't have a thought of its own. And when we're talking about the four levels of consciousness, of these levels that we teach in the school, the body and mind and the chakras do not think for themselves. They are completely controlled by the environment and their experience of the environment. The only thinking faculties within you, and consciousness faculties, are the life purpose line and the soul point. And until you bridge your thinking, your awareness to consciousness is this thing that emerges out from inside of me, you can't understand what a real choice is in your life. It's really difficult to make that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm making a choice from my heart, but that has a whole thought process around it. A heart feeling would be this, and I have to behave like that, and it has all these rules around it. And that is not an actual choice. An actual heart feeling sometimes can be incredibly hard on somebody, because there's no rules around how you're going to love somebody or how you're going to feel or speak that voice of your heart in this moment. No rules around that, but there's all kinds of rules. Everything is rules. The whole language we have is a whole set of rules about that. And so when you're, you know, as we're doing this work, going through that 30-day program, one day a week should take you the whole year, okay? And then the whole school year. And every week, you honor how that chakra feels and talks. The next week, how that chakra perceives. And each time you're doing that, you're awakening your clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance. And then you're going to go to, you know, the third week each time is going to be, this is for a whole week. You're going to do this meditation. And you're then going to say, okay, now I can feel it, hear it. I love how it talks. I realize that that's a voice inside of me that I rarely ever listen to. I'm always telling my body that it's not in good enough shape. It's not, you know, you shouldn't be hungry for this. You shouldn't be this. You shouldn't be that. I'm always telling it something. It never gets to tell me anything except for when I finally have been such a jerk to it that it falls down almost dead sick, right? And then I listen to it. And if that's the only time you listen to your body, you're not getting any guidance from your first chakra. You're not getting any guidance from the situation when you're always telling it, no, I'm going to set my boundary with this person or that person, the family I'm doing, you know, no, your first chakra has a new opinion every moment for how to live your life on your terms, in your way, in the most beautiful connected way in the family and in your body. So you need to take that step. So week three is going to be, how do I block that chakra? How am I keeping myself in my head rather than, who's Ink? Does anybody know Ink Nan? Do we know an Ink Nan? I don't know if this is a real person from this room. Do we have, does anybody have?
You can always throw them back out if they're not real.
Yeah, but it's a cell phone. Let's just ask who they are. Ah, there we go. Okay. I almost didn't let you in. You're Inknan. I don't know why you're Inknan. Okay. Inknan's iPhone. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Hi.
Hi. I'll remember next time.
Let me see if I can change that.
That's okay. You can leave it down now. Now let me know it's you. All right. So,
I'm just telling you.
Go ahead, everybody, put yourselves on mute so we don't have any noise in the background. So I want you to see that this process of becoming conscious, this delusion that is had out there from Hollywood, from people that say, I'm a psychic, I'm an empath, I'm a whatever it is that they say they are. It's really important to understand that we're all that stuff. We're all that and an infinite amount more. We right now as consciousnesses are connected to every level of consciousness that has ever existed and ever will exist. And every sentient being in the entire universe and probably all the other universes are accessible to us right now, only if we're sensitive to that. And we remember that thinking is not consciousness. And the only way you can remember that thinking has no consciousness in it is that, or as a tiny, tiny little bit, is that you need to feel your life through these chakras first, and then through your life purpose levels, and then the soul levels. But you've got to really understand that that your body and your mind and your chakras need you to connect them to the conscious parts of you, your life purpose level and your soul level, or they are going to be run by society and other people's thinking. Even though you're thinking yourself, you're not. You're thinking against something or for something that you've already heard. What comes out of you when you're conscious is going to be literally something you've never thought of, you never felt. It's like, and so every moment is literally, it's like wonder. It's like when you're living in your core, when you are conscious, you are living in wonder all the time. And then you'll notice really quickly when you're not. The problem is that we spend so little time in wonder, that's sort of like, oh my God, that's so good. I think I'll do that workshop again. I think I'll take that ayahuasca again or whatever it is that you're doing. It's like, that's not how you get where you need to get to. You got to realize that your system is designed to live in total wonder all the time. And the fact that you don't should be a shock rather than it's shocking when I'm in wonder. Okay, so to do that, we have to train. And the reason I did that 30-day training was because that's the primary training. I will have a training for the spiritual centers soon, and I'll also give you sort of like a step up, a leg up on that. I'll give you some exercises to do. Same basic exercises, feeling, listening to your physical life purpose point, looking through it, seeing through it, how you block it, what the freedom statement is. So now the freedom statement in each of these chakras that you will sense and feel and want to feel on week three, in each one is going to be, that's going to be that soul truth, that consciousness that comes through that. Okay. And then the final one is, how would that be one of these five profiles? How would that support my profile? And so now if you've done every chakra like that over a month, and each time you take your time, you're now building an unbendable sort of truth about who you are rather than a whole bunch of assumptions. Because you don't have a chakra like I do. If you did, you'd be like, wow, that is so weird. How could that be something? How can anybody have that chakra? You have your first chakra, and you've got to know what that first chakra is. You cannot assume that there's a first chakra out there. We all share one. That's how we navigate together and create more awareness and consciousness. And what's really cool is that there's, for every person you meet, that's a complete study in what a first chakra is. Okay. Every person you meet, every classmate you have, there's a complete study of what a second chakra is, because And of course, with profiles, you're going to see, oh, they're kind of similar. You know, each of these profiles have similar traits within each of the chakras. So you're learning that they're, that your purpose is why the chakras exist, not because there's chakras that are somehow separate from anything else in the world. Okay. So is everybody with me? So if you haven't started it yet, start. Every day, it takes 5 minutes. Feel it, listen to it, or see it, or sort of recognize how many different ways have I vowed not to be myself in that chakra? And then how many truths are there in that chakra? How many freedom statements I'm open to, you know, sharing this truth within me? And write them down. And you should have, by the end of this, by the end of just a month, you should have a nice list of how your first chakra talks, what it feels like, how you perceive the world through that chakra. And recognize that when you perceive the world from now on, you're not saying, oh, I'm just seeing that car out there. No, your sixth chakra sees its color, its shape, its archetype, its idea of where it's going and how it takes you. Your first chakra feels that presence and gives you a solid sense of, at least I got a damn car. I can go somewhere if I had to. If I had to run away, I could get in that thing and get the hell out of here. And you start recognizing that how you perceive the world is being perceived through these chakras, not through your brain. Your brain is literally just, its primary function is just to remember to get the groceries, to not miss things on your checklist. Because I know we're so brain focused society, you know, but I think that, you know, back in the 20s, we had the option of going toward Wilhelm Reich and Alexander Lowen, who were saying that life has to be felt, and Freud, who said life has to be thought. And we were just like, what's the easy one? Let's just go for everything's just a thought. And we just, and at that point, we just lost all of our this awareness, you know, this truth. And it happened millennia before that, you know, when all the religions, all the actual, the real religions were taken out, and the three biggies sort of took over and installed everybody into a one mind. But the original pagan religions were actually feeling, they were based on this life purpose line on the soul level. And then that was, you know, back then, once organized religion was in place, there was no way to access that again. Then scientific method and all these sort of things have just taken the brain and made it the central. And I don't think back 10,000 years ago, anybody was worried about the brain at all. They were all focused on how it felt, their experiences, these spiritual experiences, these awarenesses that they're somehow one with the universe. You know, these became the religion. Wait, let me put on a light here. I'm getting in the dark. Okay, I just want you to understand, I don't have you do anything in this program that isn't moving that needle massively toward consciousness. Okay, this is a consciousness program. When you have consciousness, you have a sense of truth in the world. When you have thinking, you're always on edge. You're always having anxiety. You're always wondering what's next. Okay, so that's really the goal. Inner peace doesn't come from figuring it out. Inner peace comes from inner peace. So does everybody get that? Everybody with me on that? Okay. All right. So this is like, you know, again, that I will keep sort of beating that drum. So with that in mind, you know, now we're at this place where once you're feeling that chakra, so now you're doing the first chakra, and I'll give you I'll try to do a video for the second and third years about the physical life purpose point. So like a little mini thing, I'll talk about how you're going to, I mean, there's an audio in there already about it, all about it, but I'll talk about how you would then select an archetype for that. But what for right now, just getting your seven chakras, that's really the focus. So if you do each week your exercises in your chakra, you should have a lot of information about what that chakra is like, what it likes, what it pays attention to. You know, is it strong? Is it soft? Is it needy? Is it, you know, what does that chakra do? Is it the mom? Is it the, you know, I'm in the helper. Am I the, how do I, so how you see the world in your first chakra is everybody a child that you need to help and support? You're the mother. You know, if everybody needs a spanking, you're the father, right? If everybody, you know, whatever it is, you've got to like, how do you see, you're going to start seeing, how do I see, perceive the world? That archetype is what's looking out. Okay. That archetype creates the lens that goes into that chakra that tells you how you're going to perceive that dimension of reality. So can everybody let that in? That's why we're going to put an archetype. So of course you've got your charismatic leader or your knowledgeable achiever or your team player, or whatever is in there. And you can say, well, of course, my team player is going to be the one that helps everybody in the family. My knowledgeable achiever will definitely be the organizer in the family, or, you know, or the one who has a body that's always within a pound and a half of its norm, of its normal. When I'm 2 pounds over, I'm so overweight. Jesus, what's the matter with me? So it's like, okay, that's a knowledgeable achiever thing about the body. So you'll have that. That's like the big, that's what Jung called the primary archetype. And yes, you need to have that overriding view. But each one of your chakras has your own flavor of that, your own way you do your knowledgeable achiever, your own way you do the team player. And it will have its own wounding. And so that's why we always start in the first year with the vow, because your pain in that area of your life is the easiest thing to notice, right? Your core, and this is something, I'll say this again and again and again, and I know it's going to be just like, what did he say? When you're in your core, you'll never know it. You only know who you are when you're in pain. You will only know who you are when you're resisting something in life and it creates a friction. When you're in your core, it's so effortless, it's so non-form, it's so would never resist anything that you don't notice that you're in it. So this is why we start with the vow, the problems. You'll notice, I got a problem. Oh, that's the dimension of his family. I got all sorts of family problems. I don't create family that well. I'm always an isolator. I'm always a runner away, or I'm always the bad child. I'm always the, whatever you are in the family. You'll notice that. Then you can say, okay, but in that, there's this energy that I always wanted to be more playful, more fun, more childlike, more of, you know, whatever it is. And then that becomes the, I'm open to more of me and what that child or that person or that energy would have liked to express. And so, and when you say your freedom statement, it should just be like one of those things you're just like, yeah, that's me. Not, I'm going to do that and everybody will know it then. It'll be just like, yeah, when I'm doing that, it's like life is effortless at that point. That's effortless. It would be effortless for me to be able to do that. And it's a challenge for me because I spend most of my time in defense and blocking that. Okay. So the question, the first question that I didn't answer, was let's talk about the prostitute. Okay. So the other sheet that you should have looks something like this. This is an older version of it, but it says Power Archetypes on it. And it just sort of gives you just an overview. Of course, there's a much more in-depth one in the 12, you know, talking about the prostitute. But you also want to really be clear, you know, that the profiles came from Alexander Lowe and Wilhelm Reich's work on, you know, which was a healing work where they were working with crazy people that were in defense totally, and they're trying to get them to cope. And so it was the psychopath, the rigid, the masochist, the oral, and the schizoid, right? It's like, boy, I want to be one of those. So I looked at that and I was like, you know, there's a truth in that. There's a real truth in this work, but it's not the truth. That's the result of not living your truth rather than the truth of who you are. And so what I found was that people aren't actually their defense at all. That's actually where you're not anything. Your defense is the unconscious living through the brain and surviving through triggered memory, hardwired nervous system and belief systems. And that's called defense. And when you're living in that state, you're in constant survival mode. And it's a very unconscious thing. When you push the energy that's supposed to be in your body consciously out into the mask, you no longer feel it. You no longer have any control over it whatsoever. It lives that mask is living its own life. And you aren't even aware you're doing it because it's just such a habit. So I really wanted to make sure that when you're looking at the profiles as well, you know, or looking at these archetypes, that you're understanding that even in these tougher ones, the child, you know, if you think about it, what adult wants to be called a child? You're a child. Oh, that's, you know, nobody's going to want that, you know, and nobody's going to be like, well, are you prostituting yourself? Like, that's a really nice one. And then nobody wants to be called a victim or feel like a victim or act like a victim or victimize other people. Victims just like, yeah, that's a painful thing to talk about. And then of course, everybody knows they sabotage, but nobody will ever talk about it. Right? It's like, I'm not sabotaging myself. I'm just doing this because, and then you have an excuse for doing something stupid. So you do, we all sabotage ourselves. And these are the big four that, you know, we act childlike, you know, we sabotage ourselves. We sell ourselves out as a prostitute and we are constantly feeling like we justify our existence, not by what we truly are, but by how we've been victimized and now what our right is to you know, to be who I am. And you have no right to be who you are. You just are who you are. You need no excuse to be who you are. But the victim gives you plenty of excuses. And that's why we talked about that with Carolyn Mace last year. The victim currency is complaining and that sense of I need to have an excuse to be who I am. And that's not true. You are who you are. It's effortless. So the prostitute is ultimately where you are going to reveal to the world and to yourself self-respect, okay? Where you directly access your divine integrity and value as a human being, where you consciously negotiate your power and your value. Your power is your value, how you see your value in the world, okay? Your power has nothing to do with money. I mean, when we actually become universal consciousness, and therefore we are going to connect to probably the trillions of universal consciousnesses that are out there, we become part of a universal family. We're not going to look at how much money anybody has in the bank because we'll literally be teleporting. You know, we have this capacity to do these things. It's already, the science is already there. It's just being hidden from us. You know, we have this capacity, but we have to take that back. right now we're just trying to connect with humanity so humanity can realize how powerful we are just together. Forget, you know, universal consciousness. So we need to perceive ourselves in this way of our value is intrinsic to the energy signature that we have within us. Okay. And so when we shift from sort of selling ourselves out, which is what the prostitute archetype is about, it's like, where did you sell out your gift? You know, where is that, you know, your prostitute is going to go in the chart somewhere where maybe you are, and prostitute fits well often in the second chakra, or heart chakra, right? So when did you sell yourself out in relationship for money? You know, and money is the easy one to see. It's like, where did you sell yourself out in your life for money? And so it could be to have more pleasure in your life. That's the second chakra. Or for safety in the first chakra, in the family, you sold yourself out. Or to be loved in the heart chakra. So it's like, did you sell out yourself? You know, you stuck with at least this relationship keeps me from, you know, living on the street. Okay, prostitute archetype right there. Now, what you need to understand about the prostitute archetype is that sometimes we make those decisions, and we can make those decisions consciously. So if your nature is your, let's say in another chakra, you got the queen archetype, you're not going to think twice about marrying for money. When you cross your mind, it's like, no problem there. I'm so marrying for money. I don't ever want to fucking work. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I am so going to just do this. And that is consciously using the prostitute archetype to honor your truth. Does that make sense? You got to understand that. So sometimes we sell out sort of like our highest, you know, whatever it is, because you know what, this just works for me. And I'm okay with that. And as long as you're okay with that. And I think Carolyn Mace, I think she had a good example of that on the audio, as I recall. She talked about someone who, you know, just think about sometimes you're going to,
sorry, it's Melissa. I just had a question related to that specific example.
Okay.
Consciously using an archetype to honor your truth, even the prostitute one. So what would be the difference between consciously using the prostitute versus the femme fatale? Because I know the femme fatale is a little bit, has more of the shadow side, but can you kind of tease that out a little bit? Because I kind of...
So keep in mind that these four biggies,
yep.
The prostitute, saboteur, child, and victim, you're going to rename them another archetype.
Oh, okay. Oh, got it. Okay.
Okay. Next year. This year, it's just like the big picture. We're just going to get these big chunks that, you know, the archetypes that are in the Carolyn Mace deck. Those are massive archetypes. They do not describe you personally. They describe you generally. Okay. Yeah. And we all want to do is get a general sort of like, yeah, in my second chakra, I definitely, I definitely sell out. Let's say in the second chakra. So an example in the second chakra, you're a super feeler.
Yep.
But you had one parent who was a super rule keeper or was Asperger-y and didn't have any, you know, no connection, no, couldn't feel anything.
Right.
You just vow in that to never show your feelings ever because they were, what good would it do? Mm-hmm. You're a deep feeler. And so your prostitute sells out your deep feeling and that need for cuddling and touch because your parent was so rigid. And you're just like, I'm never going to need that. That's the prostitute sells, you sell out what your greatest gift is in some way.
Okay.
Okay. And I mean, in each one of these, you're, you know, it's, and the way you do it, the prostitute sells, you know, sort of like, you know, it's, so the value, so getting some attention was better than getting none. And so the prostitute said, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with just getting this much. And so if it's around your feelings that way. So any questions on where are you thinking about putting the prostitute?
The second chakra.
That's always a good bet.
It's always a good bet. I got to think on it more because I think there's more to it, but that's just my initial thought. But yeah. If you have any suggestions, I'm open to it because you've been doing this a lot longer than I have.
No. I mean, that's, that seems like a good, you know, because you've got all that passion of the charismatic leader that has, you know, and you know, so the question is, how have you, if it's in the second chakra, the prostitute's in the second chakra, you know, where do you sell out your natural exuberance and enthusiasm and passion, you know, for safety? Because that's really, the prostitute is selling out for money, safety, you know, like, you know, something solid.
Probably in my current job. Because, you know, using my marketing skill set, I can use it in any industry. And in the industry I'm in now, as I've been, you know, raising my vibe and you know, living more in my core self, I don't think the industry I'm in now really matches where I'm headed. So let's
open it up to the group. So this is where I want you all to start working. I do want you to start getting together. If you haven't been doing it, getting together and working on do your own, you know, Zooms and get together and talk about, you know, talk through archetypes. So Melissa just talked about how she sells herself out. What chakra was she talking about? She wasn't talking about the second chakra. What was she talking about? Where would that go?
First.
Third.
Okay, so you can unmute and talk.
Her first chakra?
Third.
First chakra would be body, really body, family. It can be work.
Third.
It can be work. But if it were prostitute in that, it would be... she'd be doing it to belong, but she's not. What are you doing it for, Melissa?
I'm doing it to have the safety of still having this job and the consistent income and the money and all that stuff. And so I can focus on the things that I want to focus on without having to worry about, now I need to find a job and do the things I want to do.
Okay. So it's between, so what she was saying there is, if it's all about safety, then yes, it's first chakra. But oftentimes the job, if it's really like, this is where you sell yourself out, you know, and of course we can sell ourselves out in lots of different ways, but around job would be often third chakra, okay. Right?
Yes, so, I know job is like, third chakra.
I have consistently shot low at in jobs, in situations, you know, in what I do in the world, for, you know, to be seen as, I guess in the third chakra, it would be your value. The reason would be that you get seen as a better person by doing that job rather than the one you really want to do.
Well, I'm doing the function I want. I'm just in the liquor industry. So basically I'm in a high position where I am. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I've been in this industry now for 5 years. And as I'm evolving my consciousness, obviously I no longer really drink and I don't want to be some of the stuff is a lot more low vibe when you have too much alcohol and things like that. So
yeah,
that's what I'm selling out. It's not that I'm taking a lesser job and coasting. It's still at my executional level. It's just okay. In a vertical that I want to walk away from. Because I'm a foodie and I love foodie and cuisine and culture and all that sort of stuff. So that's what initially attracted me to it. Right. Is being able to have some of my personal passions match with my, to some degree, with my career. Right. But then as I've becoming more conscious, I'm like, oh, I don't even care about alcohol anymore. Like,
right. So yeah. So you'd have to kind of feel that, that seems like, you know, at this point,
but my values have changed.
You're doing it. You're right. So, well, so, but it also, you might, I mean, you might want to look and see, you know, at that, also at that third chakra level, if you're, looking at it from like, how would you take that job and make it your, like something that does have your highest integrity, and maybe even becoming like just working with people that are wine connoisseurs, you know, that are collectors, you know, definitely. So you're not dealing with people that are just coming in there.
Shots.
Right. And right. It's like, give me a fifth of that and I'm good. You know, yeah. So, you know, maybe you shift and, you know, in a way that supports you in not selling yourself out. So where would that be? I mean, it could even be in the communication, right? Because fifth chakra is where you're,
right,
where you're saying, you know, and you can say, you know what, I've been, you know, I tell this story all the time. I often tell the story of that I'm good with this when I'm not good with this. So so each of the chakras can be, so if it's about the money, it's going to be the first chakra and the security. If it's about, it wouldn't really be in the second chakra unless you're in the alcohol, unless you're drinking behind the counter. No. then it might be the second chakra, you know, that would probably be the saboteur, but then the third chakra is, you know, you're working, it sounds like you're working at the level that you like to work at. So third chakra is probably pretty happy with that. It's just more when it comes up to, there's a lie in it, you know, the fifth chakra, or there's sort of like, I don't want to, do I maintain relationships with people, you know, that I know aren't good for them or for me, you know, in the fourth chakra. So you'll have to kind of work with, you know, figure out where that goes.
Thank you for your help. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so it's like I said, and whichever you, it's like, that one sounds like the closest, just stick it in there and move on to the next one. Don't be like, okay, you have to figure this out. If you get even in like an inkling on something, just stick it in your chart, move to the next one, and then start watching your life. The key with these is, once you put an archetype in a chakra, then watch yourself. If it's in the fifth chakra, you know, and you're prostitute, how often do you start saying, you know, you might be drinking too much, or, you know, yeah, I don't really want to sell you that much alcohol for your party. You know, people are going to die, you know, and you say, have a great day. You guys are going to love it. It's going to be this fantastic, you know, whatever it is, you know, is that the conflict? Is that where you feel the conflict happening?
Yeah, no, you hit the hit the nail on the head. 'Cause I do the digital marketing. So it's really that I was doing more of like a hard sell or a direct sell online with the content and the way the words came across on the page.
Yep.
And then, you know, since COVID happened, I've evolved it more to the people side of things and the story and the history and the connecting, versus just the product attributes. And, you know, I do feel much better about that. And also that it's not just selling something, it's helping people learn the history and connect. And you're exactly right. The way that I was expressing in my fifth chakra, what it is I do for my job, as I execute the tactics of my job, that's where I was having the trouble, was feeling like I was pushing it on people versus putting it out there as an education thing. And then they decide
right, for themselves. Yeah. And that's good. And this is for every line of work. You all, every one of your chakras is dealing with your work in a very different way. And so, you know, how you do work, and the saboteur as well. It's like saboteur is bringing you that level of you know, power with people. And as long as 98% of the world lives in survival, there's going to be some serious self-medicating needs. So you can teach them to self-medicate consciously. That's all. You know, all right. People are not going to stop buying alcohol. It's just like, you know,
it's been for thousands of years. That's what I told myself too when I was trying to wrestle through it on my own. I'm like, geez, well, you know, Jesus turned water into wine, so can't be that bad.
Yeah, and that, if that helps you sleep at night. But I think that the other element of it is that you can find in any business, you can find how you're there to help people become more conscious through it, become more loving through it, connect more. And, you know, people do love to get together and have a beer, have a drink or things like that. And creating an image of that rather than, you know, let's get shit faced. That's shifting messages here. All right. Okay. What else we got? Steve, you have a question. Yeah.
I do. So I actually have two questions, but I got to bring it back to a more elementary level. When looking at the chakra descriptions in the archetypes, I found that a lot of times I'm seeing myself in one of the chakras we'll use prostitute since that's what we're talking about,
in the
self-respect version, but in another chakra in the prostitute description. And, you know, a lot of them, it's like it's a combination, and I haven't been able to really focus on one and say, yeah, that's me.
Let's do it. Give us an example. So you're reading them. Which one do you see?
All right. So let's try. So the saboteur, the sense of power saboteur. So I think in chakra three, you know, I see myself in the sense of power there, the do what you know to do, et cetera. But I also see myself in chakra five in the saboteur, always saying, I don't know, when asked what you want or what's your mission. And those are two very strong things for me, but in different chakras.
Okay. And I would actually throw four in there as a big one for you, that might be, because it's like, yes, you're being offered. So the saboteur is where you're offered your most power in life, right? So the saboteur is the sense of purpose, like you're this power where you're given the greatest opportunity, right? So, you know, being an attorney, and if you're a successful attorney, you're being offered. So if the world's always offering you in the third chakra, you know, the opportunity to, you know, to make, you know, to have some level of power, some influence, some individual, me as an individual has this strength and power to influence, you know, through my actions. That's anybody who stands and stands alone and leads in some way, that's a third chakra, you know, and they're constantly given a power position. That's would be a third chakra saboteur. And you're forced to take action. You're like a person that's forced to take action. The sabotage would be pretending that you don't have to take action. And I'm not going to, you know, anybody could do that. I don't have to do that. It's not. And so you'd sabotage yourself by holding back from taking advantage of all these, you know, advantage of these different things that you have. The fifth chakra would also be, you'd sabotage by undercutting yourself, talking yourself down, when deep inside you really know, I know what to say. I know exactly how to, you know, what I want to share in the world. And so you would be a person that has, if you have a saboteur in your fifth chakra, you would have that, sort of the silver tongue. You know, you'd have that capacity to convince people, to sway people, to inspire people with what you say. But then you sabotage yourself, because when it really counts, when you really should step up, then that saboteur says, anybody could do that. I'm not the one, you know, I know I'm that's, and you won't, and you'll say, you know, you do it, you know, right then you'll say out loud, you'll say, no, you go ahead. That's not my, you know, I don't need to be, I do that all the time. I talk, you know, whatever, you do it. When it was your turn, right at that moment. And then, you know, and somehow you give it away. But I would want you to think also, you know, possibly for you, because, and this, and of course, any of these could play through this, you know, but the heart for you is the saboteur in there, you know, just what's happened, just what I've watched is that people magnetized to you. Okay. You're sitting there going, you know, I remember last year, like, what the fuck, why would they want to talk to me? I'm a grump. You know, it's like, you know, whatever it is. And you're just like, you know, but they're magnetized to you. There's something. So the universe sends you people that see your heart, because you've got a big heart. And the sabotage would be that because you had that big heart as a child, and because you were a guy and guys weren't supposed to have big hearts and they weren't supposed to, you know, feel these feelings and care that much about other people, you just said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the vow comes in there that says, you know, that I'm not going to value that. That's not important. And so that would be a big area where you're given a lot of opportunity, and maybe over a lifetime you've not seen its real value, you know, its real purpose, your purpose within that, because that's where your purpose is. So it's like, for me, I have my saboteur in my seventh chakra, where I'm downloading these ideas all the time. And, you know, from early on as a kid, having these crazy dreams, you know, that I was literally seeing the energy body and the life purpose line. And I was seeing these things in my bed and feeling like, you know, like I'm going to die. You know, I'm having these things, and then having my parents say, oh, it's just a dream. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything at all. And just over my lifetime saying those kinds of dreams, those kinds of things, they're just not that important. Everybody must have that. Everybody must think that way. Everybody must have. And for you, it must be like, oh, everybody's got relationships. Everybody cares. Everybody's got, how, that's not important. You know, it's not. And the thing that keeps coming to you in your life that you see it, it's like your true gift. That's where I want you to put your saboteur in there. Does that make sense, Steve?
It does. I mean, I felt so certain that the prostitute was in my fourth chakra.
And it could be, you could not value that, but you sell yourself out for love, you know, in the heart chakra. But then you look at and say, you know, the prostitute really more describes what I've always done around my heart. Okay. And when you have a major archetype in there, that means you're going to have major energy in there. You know, whatever the four go into is one of your big centers where you attract a lot, like the law of attraction is the biggest for you. So you'd still attract a lot of people, but you'd always be allowing yourself to be in relationships that are more sort of sacrificing, needy. I'm not going to, you know, I'll lower my expectation here in some way from the prostitute. But as you're doing more of this work, you want to really, and you might see, you know what, I've always been put in positions of power. I've always been given the my ability to take action has definitely been, you know, I'm always given that. I just like, three people are come in the room and someone points to me and says, I want you to do this for me. I want you to take this over. I want you to do this, because that's a third chakra. You know, like the universe is sending you that. And then when you dismiss it and say, yeah, no, and you let the other guy do it, you're not listening to the universe. The universe sends you exactly what you're supposed to get. Your job is to accept it and work with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't mind. I mean, it could totally go in any of those, but you've got to feel your way. So like, where do I get my most, where do I get my most power from? And, you know, and even though you were in that little video that we did with you, that was so inspirational, That was definitely a fifth chakra thing. I really felt like it came from your heart, you know? So that's like a power place where you impact people in a way in the heart. That's really power, you know, really like that's, that may be strangely as an attorney, you know, that may be where you actually have the greatest impact in the world. And that would be where the saboteur would be. Where I have the greatest impact in the world with ideas that nobody else has ever thought of. I've never even thought of them. They just come in. And while I'm doing these things, a lot of the things I say are like, oh, I got to write that down. And I don't have time to write it down. And so the saboteur never remembers it. And it's like, oh God, that was a new idea that could change people. But I now know that I just have to say it and just let the next one come. And for you, it may be, you know, for each one of you, you're looking for that place that you're always like, that is a never ending source of why I'm here, my purpose in that area.
All right. Okay. I know we got to go, but one more real quick. I've heard Melissa referred to this earlier, and I've heard a number of people use this expression in the context of chakras, tease it out. What does that mean?
It just means stick it in, tease it out or stick it in. Either one, you know, whatever works for you. Just find a chakra, put it in there, and then watch that dimension of your life and see if that's true. So when you're teasing it out, you have to sort of look back. Have I always done that in that dimension of my life? What's happening right now in my life? You know, how do I operate in, you know, is it true that I really have this heart connection, or do I more influence here? Where's my real influence in the world? So you got to feel your way through that. So that's the teasing it out part. Stick it in there, start watching it. Okay, couple things. November 8th, the 4-hour training in the six elements, in the six things that I've been talking to you about, I haven't actually done a training on it. So make sure you're on there for that. Bring friends if you want. Don't if you don't want to, it's not a big deal, but definitely be on there because I want to go through, you know, sort of like, I want to give you some techniques on that one to really get, you know, the body, the emotion, you know, get mastery in each of these levels of your life, in these six levels, which are really what we teach in the school. I want you to get clear on that before we start class. So I'm going to do that. Make sure you're on for that. Second thing is I sent an email out. I don't know if you all got it. And I proposed an idea of maybe extending the year by a month, which would give you a lot more time between the last two classes. And I don't need that time anymore just because of the online thing that's happening and all that. And we do have the hotel on that weekend if we need it, you know, if we can get in person. So I don't know, it's up to everybody, but I don't want to, if anybody can't do it, if it's like really bad for anyone, then we're just going to stick with what we've agreed to. But if everybody's good with it and everybody can make it work for them, then that would be something that I'd like to do. Okay.
One question.
Right. Yeah.
Did you say that we should be doing one day of the 30-day program? Each week,
yes.
One day.
And the first two, one's an intro.
Right.
And then, so you do the first two together. You know, watch the intro, watch the, you know, the first day. The first day of each week of each chakra is feeling it, hearing it. Second day is seeing it. Third day is vow, freedom statement. Fourth day is, oh, if I had all that stuff, what profile would I be?
So, but are we doing a chakra a week or each day in a week?
A chakra a month.
That's okay. Yep.
Okay.
All right. I understood it then. A chakra a month,
because you're also going to get, I'm also going to give you some info about how to do it with the spiritual life purpose points.
Got it.
Okay. Which I may not give you till the second weekend. We do the physical life purpose point both weekend one and weekend two. So I may not give it to you till the second week just because you have plenty of other stuff to worry about right now. Okay. All right. Okay, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.